Grace to you, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 26th of April. I'm Paul White. Inquiring minds want to know about the April essay edition. I've been out on the road this month, and I have had some excellent feedback. Actually, the last two or three ministry trips, some really good feedback from our essay edition podcast. People seem to enjoy that little difference. A little different kind of pod once a month where I write an essay that's on my mind, then we read it. The April edition is partially written, and then I got distracted with travel and other sermons and things, and it is not finished. And I don't know that I will have an April edition before April is out, but I'm going to do my best. We are now rapidly approaching the end of April. I realize that. And I apologize for those who get excited about that essay. We will get it out there. Also, we are going to North Carolina in about a week. We spend the first full weekend, or actually the first weekend of the month of May in Goldsboro, North Carolina. The address, service times, all that stuff is already posted on our website, paulwhiteministries.com/schedule. May is a big, big month in our house because May is the month that my son graduates high school, finishes up his high school baseball career and his academic career, and we start to make our plans for the fall. And we have a really big announcement concerning that, and we're going to make that via a video to all of our viewers, listeners, and partners, and that will post the first week of May, okay? Some of you know what I'm talking about because we've been sharing some of this news and information with different people on the road over the last few weeks, but we're going to let everybody in on what's happening. We're very excited about the next step for our lives, our family, and our ministry. And again, that will post next week, the first week of May, and it will go on all of our platforms, including audio. So if you just listen to the podcast, there will be a special pop-up, 15, 20 minute, maybe longer, I don't know, I haven't recorded it yet, that will tell you everything that's going on. And we're also going to give some updates in that video regarding some of the writings that we are doing. It looks very strongly like we probably will publish something before the year is out, and we might even have a little more than just something. Okay. Galatians chapter 4. Yesterday we dealt with that 27th verse where Paul goes back into Isaiah 54. Let's go to verse 28 now. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. That word was isn't there. Paul's trying to show, I don't think Paul's trying to show the history of Isaac. I think he's trying to show present reality of Isaac, which is a little more apropos for them than us. They're Jewish. We're not. So for them, Isaac is not only a representative of the promised covenant, he's their great, 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 et cetera, grandfather. So literally by blood. We don't trace Isaac that way. But they didn't see it as it was, they saw it as an is. So it would have read this way: now we, brethren, as Isaac, are children of promise. But as he, this is 29, but as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, even so it is now. Let's make sure we understand Isaac and Ishmael. Isaac, the son of promise, the son of Sarah and Abram, he's born second compared to his half-brother Ishmael. Ishmael is born first because Abraham sleeps with Hagar. Hagar is the servant girl of Sarah. Sarah permits this. And if you're sitting back thinking, man, that is warped and perverted, I would agree with you. And the chaos that ensues when we do warped and perverted things should not be overlooked here. Because when Abraham, I don't care if he does have Sarah's knowledge, sleeps with Hagar and has a child, Sarah immediately resents Hagar, hates the boy Ishmael. The whole point here was for Sarah to raise Ishmael as her own. But it doesn't happen that way. Because almost immediately, Sarah can't stand that baby. She hates Hagar. I think she resents Abraham for doing this. And this chaos will lead to a split in the house that will eventually run Hagar and Ishmael out. Listen, when you read the Old Testament, you see these polygamous unions where you have, and sometimes they're heroes of the faith, and they got multiple wives. Don't for a second think that there was not inherent difficulty with these relationships. And there's a reason why, as we grew in our understanding of the oneness covenant that we have with our Lord Jesus, we started abandoning polygamous relationships. And it's the same reason that God didn't create Adam and Eve and then three other women for Adam. And so there's a basic understanding that it's going to be at its strongest and its most successful when it is a confined relationship where two covenant partners grow in their understanding of one another. I think that was part of the Genesis story, is that Adam and Eve were both naked, but they were supposed to discover, they were not only supposed to discover that they were naked, they were supposed to discover that together. And that was cheated. They were cheated of that when they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They circumvented life. Life would have shown them one another's nakedness, both physically and emotionally and mentally and spiritually. They would have seen their vulnerabilities and learned how to cover up one another's vulnerabilities. And that is the highest joy and pleasure and satisfaction of marriage, is learning to cover the vulnerabilities, the nakednesses of your spouse, and to feel comfortable exposing your private issues to the person God has given you. You can't do that with a third party. Someone was asking me about sexuality recently and brought up pornography. Like, should you, and I've been asked this probably 10 times in counseling over the years, is it healthy for us to put some pornography? We're married. Is it healthy for us to put some pornography into our sex life? And my answer, and I'm not trying to condemn people, because I know people that have done this, and there's mixed results. But I can tell you this: the end result is almost always negative, because when you start to add a third person or a party of people into your intimate sexual covenant relationship, you end up with some chaos. Sarah starts to resent Hagar, starts to resent Ishmael, starts to resent Abraham. She doesn't like them. She doesn't want them around. And that happens in the sexual relationship even to this day. And so my recommendation to believers would be, don't do it. Because although there may be some form of immediate gratification, there is a bit of poison that sneaks in. And a little leaven can leaven the whole lump. And so that little bit of poison that sneaks in may not even show itself immediately, but it will eventually pop up as resentment or hate or shame, inadequacy, self-judgment, and a myriad of other things. And it is a chaos that will be dealt with, or it will deal with your relationship. And if you think you had problems going in, get ready for the problems you're going to have going out. And so if Sarah thinks she has a problem with not being able to have a son for Abraham, imagine the problem she realizes when Hagar has a son for Abraham. That's a bit of a side. We went a little sideways there today with verses 28 and 29. Tomorrow I want to talk about that persecution, because Abraham, or Paul, says that Ishmael is persecuting Isaac even now. What did that look like then, and what does it look like in Paul's day, and what might it look like today? We'll go down that road tomorrow. See you then.